NPR News.
The influential lobbying group Business Roundtable is naming General Motors CEO Mary Barra to be its new chair. Barra, the first woman to serve as chair of the group, made up of leaders of some of the most powerful companies in the U.S. She begins her two-year term on the first day of 2022, replacing Walmart CEO Doug McMillon. Barra's career began at GM in 1980. She became the automaker's first female CEO in 2014. After 1 point moving sharply higher from yesterday's decline, stocks closed mixed today. The Dow up 90 points. The Nasdaq fell 34 points. You're listening to NPR. The Biden administration.
Beltway's in terrible shape in Towson. You want to avoid both directions on the inner and the outer loop through Towson, where we have major congestion after several incidents have cleared. We still have a four-vehicle crash still trying to clear on the outer loop passing Lock Raven Boulevard. This one along your right shoulder. You'll be crawling in both directions on the inner and the outer loop between Hartford Road and the JFX. Harrisburg Expressway also jammed southbound from Pedonia Road with related backups through the Beltway congestion into the Beltway. And the also stoppable pace through Pikesville after Park Heights Avenue approaching the JFX. Now, you'll also find heavy delays on the Beltway in both directions on the inner and the outer loop through Hillthorpe between 70, particularly on the inner loop as you're coming from I-95. We'll stop and go through Catonsville as you're coming into Woodlawn. Outer loop also slow through Hillthorpe between I-95 approaching BW Parkway. 70 eastbound jammed as you're approaching the Beltway. 95 southbound new accident as you're approaching 32. Two vehicle collision blocking your left lane. You'll be sluggish coming from I-195. This report is brought to you by the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation. For more traffic information, log on to SigAlert.com. I'm Taryn Galworth with your Baltimore area traffic.
88.9 FM reminds you that the views expressed on WEAA programs are those of participants and not necessarily those of Morgan State University, the staff, management, or underwriters of Baltimore's home for cool jazz. WEAA 88.9 FM.
From the Learning Lab at WEAA 88.9 FM on the campus of Morgan State University, the School of Global Journalism and Communication presents the Morgan News Hour. Welcome to the Morgan News Hour here on WEAA 88.9 FM. I'm Randy Reed, News Director.
I'm Demi Goff, co-host of the Morgan News Hour. Thanks for joining us.
We spoke with Morgan State University's Vice President of Student Affairs, following up about a student vaccination rates on campus and possibly consequences.
Over 17,000 students and staff in Maryland schools have been quarantined since the beginning of the school year, the latest from Maryland School Superintendent.
New leadership has been appointed to Maryland's Postal Service amid concerns of improper mail handling. A follow-up to a story we first told you here on the Morgan News Hour, there were a number of Morgan State University students here on campus that still had not submitted their vaccination card since the start of school. The vaccination card is proof that you are vaccinated against COVID-19. The current vaccination rate for all students, residential and commuters, are at 55%. Morgan State is working to process approximately 3,000 vaccination cards. A mass email went out to students, and the response to the email has been strong, according to Dr. Kevin Banks, Vice President of Student Affairs here at Morgan State.
We're continuing to get vaccination cards and verifying. So the email, you know, the efforts were successful because we got a lot more students uploading their vaccination and employees, because what we found is folks had the information. They just, they missed the emails and right. They didn't think we were going to start taking it serious. And I got to be honest, for the students, once we started saying you must be in compliance with the vaccination protocol, because we were going through kind of cross-checking and saying we won't let people into events, then because they have to scan in.
Right.
And once they scan in, we can check. And I think that's what's pushing the upload.
Students who have tested positive on campus, the school has a protocol in place for you and your roommates if exposed.
Yeah, because, in some cases, we can't take any chances. If they have roommates,
right?
We'll separate them and we'll put them, in cases where, so if you have a roommate that both of you are vaccinated, mm-hmm. and one gets a breakthrough case,
right.
We're going to isolate, and then we're going to tell that roommate, listen, sit tight for 5 days, mm-hmm. and come over and get tested at the tested site. So we've had to do that, and we have to do that with employees in the workforce, but mm-hmm. we keep track of the students in isolation, because there's a whole protocol that we have to make sure that when they move out of their room, we got to send our disinfectant team to go in there.
Right.
Plus, we got to notify our physical plant people so they don't accidentally go in there and clean the bathrooms. And so it's a sequence of events that that we've had to follow.
Since the start of school, around 50 students have been placed in quarantine.
I'm going to be scheduling a meeting with all 24 superintendents to connect with Dr. Chan and all the health officers. The thing to understand here is we took a deregulated approach to COVID response.
The Maryland Department of Health updated COVID-19 numbers this morning. 1,125 new cases were reported in 24 hours. 10 patients were released from the hospital, now bringing the total number of hospitalizations to 775. 13 deaths have been reported, bringing the death toll to 10,196, and the state's positivity rate is 4.05%.
Maryland's Board of Education says 17,500 students and staff have been quarantined since the beginning of the school year. The board has revealed that over 4,000 confirmed cases among students in schools statewide and 681 cases among staff members. Maryland State Education Superintendent Mohammed Chowdhury said it's time the state takes the lead for districts around the state when it comes to reporting and implementing policies and procedures for school districts.
I'm going to be scheduling a meeting with all 24 superintendents to connect with Dr. Chan and all the health officers. The thing to understand here is we took a deregulated approach to COVID response. If I was here in the spring, I would not have done that. I'm just going to be real. Like, we don't have 1,100 school districts. We shouldn't have taken it a deregulated approach to testing and masking and things like that. But we did. And then we decided to now come in and try to realize that we should have been more standardized in many things. And I think that requires leadership from the state level. And so we are trying to make up for that now.
Teacher vaccination rates around Maryland are not consistent across the board. In Baltimore City, the teacher vaccination rate is 84%, which is one of the highest rates in the state, according to the Maryland Board of Education. Baltimore County reports it's still collecting data, while Howard County says it is approximately 85%. And Arundel County is reporting it doesn't know the vaccination rate of their teachers. Harford County is not even at 50%. They are at 49%, and that is one of the teachers that live in the county.
Maryland Secretary of Health Dennis Schrader recently updated the Committee on Vaccine Oversight and recognized the nursing homes for their improvement, getting employees vaccinated, and is still concerned with the few who have not complied.
To date, nearly 90% of the residents and more than 86% of the staff at nursing homes are vaccinated with at least one dose. They are truly a shining example in the state, and we are grateful for all of them. However, there are still a few dozen nursing facilities that are not complying with the safety measures we put in place. It is unacceptable that a few outliers are seemingly willfully not doing what the majority of nursing home facilities in the state are doing to keep our most vulnerable citizens safe from COVID-19. And we are going to continue to increase our enforcement measures for those who do not comply.
Now let's take a look at your news around the region.
Two Annapolis high school students are in the hospital after a stabbing at the school this morning. Their wounds are described as non-life-threatening. School officials report several fights broke out this morning before 9 a.m. The fight is believed to have originated off campus. So far, 7 students have been arrested, but more potential arrests are possible with an ongoing investigation. Officials report there is no longer an active threat. However, the school remains on lockdown with a strong police presence. School officials also ask at this time parents do not come to pick up their students. And a fatal row home fire in Northeast Baltimore is under investigation. Fire officials arrived to the 7300 block of Harford Road this morning and discovered fire involving multiple homes. The victim was discovered on the second floor and pronounced dead on the scene. An investigation into the fire's cause remains ongoing. Finally, police are asking for the public's help in finding a missing 12-year-old girl. Deora Pearson was last seen yesterday morning just after 7 a.m. in the area of the 11,000 block of Baskerville Road in Reisterstown. Dior is black with a medium dark complexion, brown eyes, and dark brown or black hair. She is 5'7" and weighs about 155 pounds. Anyone with information on Dior's whereabouts is urged to contact the Baltimore County Police Department. This is Jasmine Johnson with your regional wrap.
Here's a look at your weather around the region. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 54. Light northwest wind. Thursday, sunny with a high near 72. Northwest wind, 5 to 9 miles per hour. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low around 51. North wind, 3 to 6 miles per hour. Friday, sunny with a high near 72. North wind, 3 to 7 miles per hour. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 53. Saturday, sunny with a high near 77. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 60. Sunday, a chance of showers after 2 p.m. Partly sunny with a high near 75. Chance of rain is 40%. Sunday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 60. Chance of rain is 40%. I'm Shine Boggs, reporting for the Morgan News Hour.
New leadership is coming to Maryland's Postal Service amid complaints of customers going weeks at a time without receiving mail. Laura McLucas was appointed as the Maryland District Manager and Eric Gilbert as Postmaster of Baltimore. During the pandemic, residents voiced their complaints about the lack of service from their Postal Service. An audit was requested by the United States Postal Service Inspector General for 6 post offices around the Baltimore region.
Student reporter Kendra Pugh tells us about how the Postal Service will be raising the rates beginning Friday.
You better get those holiday packages sent out sooner rather than later. Mail delivery is about to get slower and more expensive. Beginning Friday, the U.S. Postal Service will start to implement new service standards for first-class mail and periodicals, slowing its target delivery time by 30%. USPS spokesperson Kim Fromm told NPR. According to Fromm, some of the changes will result in increased time for some pieces of mail going across country and other long distances. Single-piece first-class mail, smaller and lightweight mail, traveling in the same region will still have a 2-day delivery time, Fromm said. First-class packages, however, will be impacted by the new standards starting Friday. Additionally, beginning October 3rd and ending on December 26th, the Postal Service will temporarily increase prices of all commercial and retail domestic packages because of the holiday season, Fromm said. The changes are part of the Postal Service 10-year strategic plan announced by Postmaster General Louis DeJoy this past March. I am Kendra Pugh, reporting for the Morgan News Hour.
Federal workers could be out of a job by midnight. American Urban Radio Network's Ebony McMorris reports.
AURN News.
I'm Ebony McMorris. Hundreds of thousands of federal workers could be out of work by midnight if Congress doesn't agree on funding. I spoke with economist Linwood Tahid about how this directly affects African Americans.
African Americans are 18.4% of federal employees. So when federal employees do not get paid, the African American community is disproportionately negatively affected. Now, even though federal employees will receive back pay, in the meantime, they're unable to make house payments, car payments, medical expenses, prescriptions. The percentage of Black women in the federal labor force is twice as high as it is in the civilian labor force. And so African-American women income will be affected even at a higher rate. The 57% of African-Americans who are 65 and older depend on Social Security for at least 50% of their income. This is the highest of all race and ethnic groups in the country.
For AURN News, I'm Ebony McMorris.
We're joined today with our student roundtable. We're joined today by
Jasmine Johnson,
Rochelle Keaton.
So today we wanted to discuss, as we were discussing in the newsroom, Ancestry.com and the use of it in your classroom and how you find it interesting.
Yeah, so for my class right now, I'm taking information gathering and research, and we're using the database Ancestry, which I know that a lot of people have heard of. So right now we're trying to gather information back from like the 1800s. So I think it's just really reliable, and I just love the project itself because I learned a lot of stuff about my family that I did not know before. So,
and it's a free service, correct? Or how does it work for students on campus?
So for students on campus, all you have to do is go to the Enoch Pratt Free Library, and okay, then you can sign up for a library card. Mm-hmm. And then after that, they give you a number. And after you get that number, then you just go to the Ancestry database and type in your library number, and you are there.
And Rochelle, you were checking it out earlier?
Oh, yeah. I can't stop looking at it, actually. Like, I am trying to go on a hunt to find, you know, find out more about my family and my ancestors. And I actually just found out something very interesting. So this past summer, I did an article on Danville, Virginia, and I just found out that, you know, so my family actually lived in Danville. So that's cool.
Really? And so to tie it in, what's the other one we were talking about that you can give blood for this one, right? Or swab?
I think it's a swab.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's a kit that comes. But is this this one that you get through the library database to just look up your last name?
Yeah, you just look up your last name.
Okay, so and that service is free, but...
And you found relatives as far back as...
As, like, my great-great-grandparents.
Mm-hmm. Are there articles or...
So what I found was registration cards from, like, mm-hmm. World War I and World War II. So it showed, like, the dates that they were drafted and the dates that they actually served in the wars. Mm-hmm. So that's, like, the main information, and as well as marriage records from that time, too.
Yeah. You should be the, what is it called, a genealogist?
Genealogist.
for your family.
Yes.
My aunt used to be ours for my family, and, you know, they had to do it the old-fashioned way. Was to go to each library and look up court records and things like that.
Oh. I would say, I guess it's different now, whereas though you can do the swab with the DNA, that's like, I guess that would be more accurate because some people don't always have their family's last name.
Right.
But either way, what the library is offering the public, that's very generous, and that's really a good thing that people should take advantage of. But if you have the money, you could get the DNA kit. But Randy and I, you know, because we're from the news world, we're a little skeptical.
Right.
because of the things that forensic scientists use your DNA for.
Yeah, they've discovered where, you know, suspects and crimes that were committed by going through Ancestry.
So it's right. Very interesting.
Yeah.
But I guess all in all, it's still a good thing. And for me, I would say that, because we were talking about this, you know, it makes me a little nervous to find your family. You're like, wait a minute. Like, how? He's just this new person that pops up on my feet. Like, hey, this may be your cousin after you go through the whole the lineage thing.
Right. And I was sharing a story earlier where my son did it, and my wife ended up finding her brother.
Yeah. Otherwise, it is really a great tool, but it's nervousing at the same
mm-hmm.
time
because
you don't know what you're going to find out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really awesome to check back and say, oh, my great grandfather served in the war, and here are the marriage records from this time and things like that. So I think that's pretty cool either way. It's always great that as Black people, we can trace back our lineage, because sometimes we really do not have that line that takes us back to where we come from. Because of how we got here.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. The resources are definitely limited for us Black people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we are only limited to, you know, death certificates or marriage license and stuff like that. Whereas, you know, other races might, you know, find pictures or, you know, yearbook pictures, anything like that. And sometimes, you know, I wish I could see pictures of my ancestors,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it's kind of unlikely.
Well, no. So one interesting tool that I've used in the past is called newspaper or newspapers.com. You can go there and you stick in a name. Maybe they live in another area. Maybe they live in, you know, Hampton, Virginia or something like that. You look up that newspaper and it goes all the way back to the early 1800s. You'll be able to find information on that.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that mm-hmm. that resource, actually.
Yeah. So, and you can, I think it's a free 7-day trial, and then you can buy the whole subscription.
Mm-hmm. All right. Pretty cool.
Yeah. So, thank you, guys.
Yeah,
very
no
interesting
problem.
Conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Very different from what we've
It ties back into their classes. It ties back into the things that they're doing here. So, you know, yeah.
Right, especially with research.
Yeah, exactly.
Because a lot of what we do here is, you Someone to tell us something, we got to go look it up.
Exactly.
We don't believe it.
We're all scientists to an extent.
Right. So, thank you, guys. Make sure to download the WEAA app and take us with you 24 hours a day. You're listening to WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. We'll be right back.
I love when we get together. The vibe we create is just right. The neo soul, R&B, and the classics are more than what you ask for. Spotlight on Women in Music, the main stage directly from the artist's mouth, Miss Peach's Brown Bag Music Special, and there's so much more.
My mornings are so much better when I'm starting them with Mornings with Mikkel. Listen in for the latest in news, pop culture, and exciting new segments around town with Downtown Kevin Brown and The Balance, diving into holistic health by yours truly. Truly, Valencia, here on Morgan State Radio 88.9.
Mornings with Mikkel, personalized just for you, with the best in neo-soul, R&B, and the classics. Valencia Charmaine presents Holistic Choices with The Balance, arts and entertainment that connects our neighbors with something in common. Around Town with Downtown Kevin Brown. Southern Soul with Miss Peach's Brown Bag Music Series. The things that make you feel real good. Mornings with Mikkel, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. till noon on WEAA 88.9.
Here's a look at your weather around the region. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 54. Light northwest wind. Thursday, sunny with a high near 72. Northwest wind, 5 to 9 miles per hour. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low around 51. North wind, 3 to 6 miles per hour. Friday, sunny with a high near 72. North wind, 3 to 7 miles per hour. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 53. Saturday, sunny with a high near 77. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 60. Sunday, a chance of showers after 2 p.m. Partly sunny with a high near 75. Chance of rain is 40%. Sunday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 60. Chance of rain is 40%. I'm Cheyenne Boggs, reporting for the Morgan News Hour. Okay.
Student reporter Kaisha Hancock brought us a story about two Morgan State University alumni and owners of Couples Tea House, Eric and Lynette Dotson, who decided to open up their business to introduce premium loose leaf tea culture to Baltimore, offering a healthier alternative to sugary drinks. Co-owner Lynette Dotson says that with the help of pop-up shops, festivals, farmers markets, and social media, the business has grown over the past 6 years. She also extended advice to current Morgan State University students who are running businesses or interested in getting started.
Mm-hmm. As a person starting out, you know, with aspirations of opening a business, I would say to get that foundation first. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it'll be a much smoother transition once you get into, you know, making real money doing it.
Yes.
Because you start now, you're making, you know, you sell your product, mm-hmm. you know, it's not really much to it.
Yeah.
As long as you're able to not spend your own money. Mm-hmm. But when you're really getting into business and you have to now pay taxes and you have to now, you know, pay for services like photographers and web designers and stuff like that, you got to know where that money is going. You got to know how to account for it, how to categorize it. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would tell a person. Mm-hmm.
And to stay connected with Couples Tea House, you can follow them on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Couples Tea, and that's CUPLESTEA, or you can catch them at Morgan State's homecoming on October 23rd.
Today, Morgan State University students and staff attempted to close the gap in sickle cell. The university hosted a campus-wide blood drive along with the American Red Cross. September is National Sickle Cell Awareness Month. One in every 13 African-Americans are born with sickle cell trait, and one in every 365 African-Americans are born with the actual disease.
This is an awesome day. We love partnering with Morgan State University. Mm-hmm. We have 57 people sign up to donate blood today. The goal was 50, so we've got more than the goal. And 50 of those donors are first-time blood donors, so we're thrilled.
I decided to donate because I've heard that sickle cell is a very major problem in the U.S., and for me to be able to help, like, lives, and plus it's, like, beneficial for others as well.
Sure, I just wanted to help others who might need it because I know that there are people all over the world who really need this blood, and so I thought that if I can do it, why not?
Heartscape with Kari K is shining the spotlight on local heroes and entrepreneurs who are striving to make a positive impact in their communities and beyond. Today, Kari K spoke with a local hero whose harrowing experiences as a NICU mom motivated to create vital resources for women dealing with the tough challenges of motherhood in communities where support is either scarce or non-existent.
Hello, everyone. Happy Wednesday. I am your host, Kari K, and today I am speaking with Anna Rodney, a remarkable Baltimore woman who chose to turn her pain into passion. Welcome to the show, Anna.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. So you founded not just one, but two businesses that evolved from a traumatic experience involving your now 6-year-old son. Let's talk about your businesses and the ordeals you experienced that brought you to where you are today.
So, first of all, I've been a doula for the last 14 years. Mm-hmm. And a birth doula is someone who supports pregnancy, and it's a non-medical support for mom and family and other supporters. We also provide education around certain options you might have for birth and things like that. So I've been doing that for about 14 years, but it wasn't until 2014 where I realized that there was this whole other world that I was not a part of, mm-hmm. And that was NICU involvement. My son was born 28 weeks and 6 days. When normal gestation is 40 weeks. So he was severely premature. And we spent about 6 months in the NICU.
Wow.
At the time I was single. I was overweight, still am. I became unemployed while I was in the hospital delivering my son. Mm-hmm. And so there are a number of different factors that made me a profile candidate, if that makes sense. And so I had to not only deal with the stress of having a child in NICU who may not make it, but I also had to navigate microaggressions and implicit bias based on who I was and who I presented as on paper. And so when I came home with my son, I took some time to kind of just be with my son and enjoy being at home with him. But after that, I decided I needed to kind of take my experience, because I know I wasn't the only one that experienced anything like that, mm-hmm. in the hospital, and create a way to support mom so that they didn't have to go through what I went through in the hospital. And so that's where Mom Cares came into being. So Mom Cares originally was started as just a healing circle in which me and some other friends came together to talk about our pregnancies and to focus on self-care, because, you know, as mothers, you know, the narrative is you no longer matter. It's all about your baby. Right. And that's problematic, because you are the lifeblood of your baby. Right. If you're not well, you know, your baby will struggle.
Definitely.
So we kind of gathered together. We did those first couple of healing circles. We had Reiki, we had yoga, we had acupuncture and massage therapy and body adornment.
Wow. Nice.
And we just created this space for other mothers. And in 2017, we got some funding to expand our program, and we were able to expand it into creating a doula program that has hospitals referring to us, Black mothers in particular, who are high risk of entering the NICU or who are already in the NICU with a little one.
It is truly remarkable. That is amazing.
And so now what we know is that being in the NICU and having a traumatic birth has certain implications, especially as far as mental health and postpartum mood disorders. And we know also that Black families, Black women have a resistance to mental health services because those type of services have been weaponized against us and our families for so long. Mm-hmm. And so the Rising Mama, which is our for-profit arm, we are in the midst of completing our application to develop a psychiatric rehabilitation program that will support our moms that are coming to us at Mom Cares. We'll be able to then support them through the Rising Mama and giving them services, mental health support and services through that organization.
Both of your businesses sound like amazing resources for women dealing with not only the challenges of motherhood, but also the challenges of day-to-day living. Which brings me to ask, have you noticed an increase in women suffering from postpartum depression during the pandemic?
So we don't have specific numbers for that, but I will say that in the interactions that we've had with families, we have a lot of moms who are talking about anxiety and they're unsure of what's coming next or what they should do or if this is okay or if that's okay. So we find ourselves talking through anxiety a lot with our moms. You know, we hear about not getting enough sleep, not being able to take a regular shower, not having any, you know, time to yourself. The transition into motherhood, the transition into parenthood is a significant one that brings a lot of changes all at the same time. And if there's not someone there guiding and helping and creating space for you to have space, it's very hard to take time to yourself.
I have noticed, mostly with new moms, but I have noticed some don't like to admit when they need a break from their motherly duties. It's like they feel guilty for wanting to step away for a little bit.
Exactly. And so that's where we come in. You know, we create these spaces that make it okay to say, you know, yeah, I care about the color of my baby's poop and that's weird to me and I want to talk to other parents about that, right? But I also kind of want to talk about something other than my baby. Right. And there are other mothers and other parents that want to have that those same conversations. And so we have really started to build within the healing circle a space of self-care, but also of education. And so we talk about the things that our moms want to talk about. We talk about co-parenting relationships. We talk about intimate partner violence. We talk about breastfeeding and lactation support. But we also are there to create community and to say, this is your time to talk about what you want. This is your time to engage in some self-care.
This is great. This is amazing. The safe space you are creating for mamas is so beautiful. Anna, how can people support the extraordinary work that you are doing for mothers who need what you provide?
On this Friday, October 1st, we are having our 5th year anniversary at Dovecote Cafe. And we are also relaunching our website and our brand. As of October 1st, you can go to momcares.org and look at the website and hear and read more about our story.
You are truly an inspiration. Thank you for sharing your story with us. And thank you for being an amazing advocate for mothers. May your businesses continue to gain support and prosper.
Thank you.
To learn more about Mom Cares and the Rising Mama and to support this local hero, visit weaa.org. Do you know a local hero or entrepreneur who is striving to make a positive impact in their community? Email karimoniquek@gmail.com. I'm Kari K with WEAA News.
We are now joined by Tariq Turner, who is a senior here at Morgan State University. He's also the sports editor for the Morgan State campus newspaper, The Spokesman. Tariq, what's going on in sports?
Hello, WEAA fam. This is Tariq Turner. The Windless Bears will be looking for their first win of the season this Saturday as they take on the St. Francis Red Flash. Here are five things to look forward to ahead of Saturday's game.
The Morgan State Bears, 0-3, are still in search of their first win of the season as they take on the St. Francis Red Flash, 1-3, this Saturday at noon in Hughes Stadium in Baltimore, Maryland. Here are five things to look forward to ahead of Saturday's game. Thing number one, quarterback Neil Bedrue is still in search of his first college win as quarterback. Bedrue has played in all three of the Bears games this season and has started in two. He is averaging 99 passing yards, one touchdown pass, and one interception per game. A win on Saturday would be the first of his collegiate career at quarterback. Thing number two, the defense seeks to follow up their improved performance. Morgan's defense has allowed 40.3 points per game, but only allowed 21 in their 21-7 loss against Sacred Heart on September 18th. If they are able to have an equivalent or better performance on Saturday, they will give themselves a chance to win. One player to look out for is Morgan linebacker Kalen Jennings, who is tied for the second most sacks per game in the MEAC with 7.7. Thing number three, Morgan looking for first home points of the season. The Bears are scoreless at home this season. In their one home game against Towson on September 4th, they were defeated 31-0. Thing number four, the Bears running backs will need to perform well. In the team's first two games of the season, they were only averaging 53.5 rushing yards. Against Sacred Heart, running back Jabril Johnson had 76 rushing yards by himself. A good performance by Johnson and the rest of the team's running backs will be crucial for their chances to win Saturday. Thing number five, Tyrone Wheatley has the opportunity to have the best start of his Morgan career. In 2019, Tyrone Wheatley's first year as Morgan head coach, the team did not earn their first win until the sixth game of the season. A win on Saturday would give Wheatley his earliest win of a season. I'm Tariq Turner, reporting for the Morgan NewsHour.
Junior women's cross-country runner Yasmin George is enjoying her season. The Duluth, Georgia native has an average placement of 28th place in her three races this season. I recently had the opportunity to catch up with her.
My first question is, how are you enjoying the cross-country season so far?
I like it a lot. It's the same as regular track season, but it's a smaller team, so everything feels like more connected. So I like that more.
Okay. What are some things that you do to prepare yourself for a meet?
Well, one, I go to sleep as early as I can. And that's like the day before, but the like minutes before the race, I kind of talk myself down because I'm nervous. So I kind of just breathe and then tell myself like, this is going to be fine. It's just like 20 minutes out of your day. That's it.
What are some things you think you can do to improve your times?
Try harder at practice. Like act like it's a race at practice.
The Baltimore Orioles won their 51st game of the season last night after they defeated the Boston Red Sox 4-2. Kendra Pugh recaps their season as it comes to a close.
Despite the Baltimore Orioles being eliminated from the playoffs more than a month ago, the Orioles' younger player shows promise as the team enters the rebuilding stages. Orioles center baseman Cedric Mullins earns 2021 Most Valuable Oriole after a breakout season. Mullins won the award in a runaway fashion after breaking a record of home runs. Mullins, who turns 27 on Friday, had 30 home runs and 30 steal bases this season. The center fielder was the club's first All-Star this season since 2018. The Orioles' several-game losing streak this season was their worst season since 1988, 21-game losing streak. Mullins will be a fundamental piece in the Orioles' rebuilding stage. I am Kendra Pugh, reporting for the Morgan NewsHour.
So Kendra talked about it. Cedric Mullins. Is he their only shining hope?
Yes, he is. But I'm hoping that he comes to my Phillies next season because he is a free agent, I believe, after this season's over.
Well, that's kind of selfish. You need another star player?
Absolutely. We have not been to the playoffs since I was in elementary school.
Oh, okay. All right. that's a ways away. All right. So, you're listening to the number one streaming station in Baltimore, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. We'll be right back.
You have been to Baltimore, Maryland, to have big fun.
Baltimore. You ask for it, and we listen.
Bang, town.
a place to celebrate your music, your culture, your food, your local unsung heroes.
Today, in honor of the ceasefire, it is Sacred Space Saturday.
Baltimore in every town!
And so much more. It's the all-new Good Morning Baltimore with Kelly Aven, featuring Tyler B., Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 a.m., right here on WEAA. I was down Lexington
Market. I'm Anthony McCarthy.
And I'm Kara Williams.
Join us each day, Monday through Friday, for Two-Way Talk, where we have influential guests and informative conversations each day.
That's right, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m., where your opinion counts and the conversation gets hotter and hotter each day.
Right here on WEAA 88.9 FM.
The voice of the community.
Listen live to your favorite public radio station. Streaming now at WEAA.org.
Here's a look at your weather around the region. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 54. Light northwest wind. Thursday, sunny with a high near 72. Northwest wind, 5 to 9 miles per hour. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low around 51. North wind, 3 to 6 miles per hour. Friday, sunny with a high near 72. North wind, 3 to 7 miles per hour. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 53. Saturday, sunny with a high near 77. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 60. Sunday, a chance of showers after 2 p.m. Partly sunny with a high near 75. Chance of rain is 40%. Sunday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 60. Chance of rain is 40%. I'm Cheyenne Boggs, reporting for the Morgan News Hour.
Here's a recap of the top stories on the Morgan News Hour. Morgan State University is working to process approximately 3,000 vaccination cards. This after it was discovered students hadn't been uploading their vaccination card as required. A mass email went out to students, and their response to the email has been strong, according to Dr. Kevin Banks, Vice President of Student Affairs here at Morgan State University.
Thank you for that, Randy. Now it's on to live sports with myself and Kendra. How's it going out there?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
We are good. We are good.
No, it's fine.
We had a story that we wanted to get into was these top five teams that Stephen A. listed in the NFL. It's the Rams at number one, the Green Bay Packers at number two, the Dallas Cowboys at number three. Did you laugh at the Dallas Cowboys at three? I laughed too. Number four, the Arizona Cardinals, and number five, the Cleveland Browns. Kendra, what are your thoughts? And we'll get to your thoughts too.
I believe that list is kind of bogus. I mean, I agree with the Rams and also the Cardinals, but there's so many teams that's starting out going into week four. So I just think it's just a load of crap. And also Green Bay, they barely even won. They barely even won that week. I know Aaron Rodgers dropped them down the field, but it's so many better teams that's on this list. They could potentially be on this list.
Randy, you left at the Cowboys at number three.
I did, and because I'm curious where the Ravens are.
We're curious, too.
And, I mean, I think Stephen A. is just trying to, you know,
reach.
Yeah, right. There you go. But that was my thing. I wouldn't even put my Giants in there, not even as a joke. But I think the Ravens should be in there.
I agree. I think the Ravens should be on this list. I'm not sure why the Browns are really on this list because they haven't really done anything to me.
I bought tickets for that game.
Oh, you did?
Ravens Browns.
That's going to be a good game.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand why they put the Cowboys on there, but I would put the Ravens above the Cowboys. The Arizona Cardinals, they're balling out. But, what about a team like the Raiders? You know, they're missing on here.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
And they're 3-0, so that's kind of alarming to me. And also, the Browns being on here, the loss of Jarvis Landry is still going to be huge. You may not see it last week, but you're going to potentially see it next week. It's a huge loss not having Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, but it's no surprise. Stephen A. reaching, as always. Some of the news,
right?
Is
your mic on? Your mic's fine. Oh, but he said, no.
Tariq, go ahead.
I said the Buccaneers aren't on the list.
Exactly, like Stephen A. Like I said, he be reaching sometimes.
He says a lot of stuff.
but based on last week, I wouldn't put the Buccaneers on that list. And I think he just probably giving an overall analysis of week three. But based on last week, the Buccaneers don't need to be on that list. There's so many other teams that 3-0 could potentially be on that list.
I agree with Kendra.
But we all agree the Cowboys don't need to be on that list.
Definitely not.
They don't, though. Today apparently is Justin Tucker Day. So if you go to Royal Farms for under a dollar from 9 to, you have until 9 p.m., you can get coffee.
Well, it's also National Coffee Day. So
you're right, it is. Look at Demi.
Mm-hmm.
What? Chime in there.
So you're going to get a cup of Joe or you?
No, I'm finished with my cup of Joe for today.
So it's Justin Tucker that now I just sent you that meme and I believe he had a Timberland boot on when he kicked it.
See, I thought that was a New York thing when you sent that to me. That's what I figured. I was like, this is a New York thing, man. But I do gotta break out my butter soon because it is getting a little chilly outside.
It is.
Another story we wanted to get into was, well, Manny Pacquiao apparently retired. I thought he already retired, so when I saw this, I was a little confused. I was like,
"But I thought he's running. Is he running for president?"
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, this has been in the works for a while. But right. I mean, like I said, I thought he had been retired from boxing.
I did too, because he wasn't even playing that many matches, so I just thought he retired. Like you wasn't really hearing about him in the boxing field like that.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you know, it's really about people like Canelo. There's a big fight coming up with Wilder and Fury. So give the sport over to those guys. Pacquiao, you've been in it too long anyway.
Yeah, he's getting up there in age.
I mean, you can see it from his last couple fights. So I think that, but I mean, he had a good career. We didn't get the mega match that we wanted with Floyd and Pacquiao because when we finally got it, it was a huge disappointment. But it is what it is. Our last story was about the NBA and these vaccinations. LeBron James came out and he admitted that he finally took the vaccine, which I've already been saying for months. LeBron took the vaccine.
Right. They're even saying he had it. COVID.
Oh, he had COVID? Yeah.
Well, that's part of why he got the vaccine.
Nah.
But yeah.
No, I mean, eventually everybody's got to take it. I'm not understanding this stance that Andrew Wiggins is taking about not taking the vaccine right now. All the money that he's about to miss out on, and he's okay with missing out on money, apparently. Randy just rubbing his head like when your child gets in trouble, like you don't know what to do.
Like you got a cigarette in your hand, be like,
did y'all hear about the fact that unvaccinated players will not be paid for games they miss in San Francisco and New York? Now we heard about San Francisco, but now New York is added into the mix. So it's about time.
And now they're skeptical about what Kyrie Irving is doing.
Right. And that's how you're gonna get them to be vaccinated, to take money away from them, you know?
More restrictions.
But at this point, just take the vaccine. As Governor Larry Hogan says, take the vaccine, right, man. What do you have to lose? You're missing out on money. That's craziness to me. And I don't think they have that much saved up to be able to miss out on games like that.
Right. But yeah, the whole thing, I guess I don't get it, I'm not sure why they're not taking the vaccine. Their stance doesn't seem to fit with, you know, putting other stuff in your body, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the NBA still doesn't have a hard vaccination policy like the NFL does, but most of the league is vaccinated. They said 90% of the league is vaccinated at this point, mm-hmm. So... And I mean, I'm sure New York and San Francisco aren't going to be the only cities to put this mandate in progress. So just take the vaccine for all the 10% that don't have it.
Right.
I agree with that.
So, thank you for that. And now we're going to go to my favorite city besides Baltimore, Hollywood.
Thanks, Dre. Thanks, Kendra. So here's what's trending in your entertainment. Former President Barack Obama and former First Lady Michelle Obama broke ground on the Obama Presidential Center in Jackson Park, Chicago, one of their largest post-White House projects. The facility is promised to be used as a university for activism and social change. During the ceremony, Mr. Obama said the Obama Presidential Center is their way of repaying the city of Chicago and the South Side in particular, while Mrs. Obama, who was born and raised in Chicago, noted that the groundbreaking of the center marks the next chapter in a journey that began several years ago. The completed campus will host a park and activity center, historical museum, library, and plaza, as well as a restoration of the women's garden and an outdoor play area for children. A megastar producer and co-creator of Battle Platform Versus, Timbaland has created a new digital platform to connect musicians to industry professionals. Beat Club is a global marketplace for music creators with record labels, music publishers, film and TV brands, content creators, and independent artists. The platform will also offer business tools, educational content, and the outsourcing of industry opportunities to empower music creatives at every level. Timbaland says the platform is a place where creators can communicate, and that if someone has talent, he will be able to connect them to bigger music names for work, adding that Beat Club members will keep all their music rights and revenue, set their own terms for pricing, and retain their publishing for royalties. For more information about Timbaland's Beat Club, visit www.beatclub.com.
Very good program.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. And he mentioned that, you know, when he was a kid, you know, he was sitting up in his room, like, basically, like, oh, how am I going to get my music out there? Mm-hmm. And he says that that's probably the same way for, you know, some kids now, like, trying to figure out if they really are talented. And there are so many lanes that you can go. But living in the day that we do now, it's not that easy to get your music heard because, you know, you may feel as though, like, everybody wants to mm-hmm. be an artist. Like, back in the day when you watch, like, music movies and things like that, like Dreamgirls or The Temptations or, you know, mm-hmm. all those movies where these groups were discovered at talent shows, mm-hmm. that's not really happening anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think this platform is pretty cool, like, for creators to sign up to go and to try to be able to connect and create with other music industry creatives and also with people who are higher level. And it also was reported that Justin Timberlake signed on mm-hmm. to be a partner.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And it's key that he's also teaching them about publishing and royalties.
Yeah,
because
royalties.
I don't think people understand that's where, you know,
that's where the money is.
Right.
There, and you also don't want to get taken advantage of when it comes to your publishing mm-hmm. and royalties, because if you land in a particular deal, then you won't be able to see your music
right.
or your money. Mm-hmm. So I think that's pretty.
Because we were just talking, I don't know if it's the same thing, but was it Ashanti?
Ashanti just got her masters for her first album, mm-hmm. which she will be re-recording. Now, she didn't set a release date for it just yet, but mm-hmm. she did say that she had a great legal team, but now she owns her the masters for her debut album. I think it was called Ashanti, or if I'm not mistaken, I know that Foolish was on that album, so I'm not sure if it was called Foolish but I know that that's her debut album. And she just mentioned that she started in this industry when she was 14 years mm-hmm. old and not really understanding what she was signing at the time. So, you know, now she's able to go back over in her contracts or, you know, whatever the case may be with what she had, and that she owns her masters to that debut album.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Really quick to the first story you talked
mm-hmm.
about.
The
wasn't
Obama
there pushback?
Center.
Yes.
Yes,
wasn't there was pushback about
a lot of pushback from some people in Chicago or just some people outside of Chicago, because they think that, you know, this center is going to basically gentrify the neighborhood and push those low-income people out of their spaces. But and Mrs. Obama says that this is a restoration. Mm-hmm. And also Mr. Obama says the same thing, that this center is going to create jobs for the people in that neighborhood. Because, you know, you're going to need someone to work at the center once it's up and once it's running.
And it's going to also, I mean, generate traffic and
businesses that are around it. And I think that's what some people are also pointing to, that if, you know, you have this center here, that other businesses are going to want to come and that they're going to push people out mm-hmm. of their homes. But I think, for me personally, I honestly think that it is going to be a great thing for those people in that neighborhood, because it'll offer them jobs where they possibly, you know, where they probably didn't have a job, or it will just create jobs and filter people into that part of the city so that they can, you know, so that it can thrive, mm-hmm. so that the people who are there can also begin to thrive as well.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Sometimes I don't think they see through that all the way through until it's done.
Until it's done. So I'm hoping that the people who are in the neighborhood stay around long enough, or that they are able to see the plan all the way through so that they can also, you know, get those jobs that are going to be coming.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. We want to thank you guys for joining us tonight here on the Morgan News Hour. I'm Randy Reed.
And I'm Demi Goff. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a good night and be safe.
Our production tonight was brought to you by the students in the School of Global Journalism and Communication right here at Morgan State University, in our learning lab right here at the studio of WEAA 88.9 FM, led by Dean Jacqueline Jones and station manager Robert Shahid. Thank you to our student reporters, Shania Butler, Kaisha Hancock, Chardonnay Jackson, Zakiya Jennings, Jasmine Johnson, Rochelle Keaton, David Lance, Gabriel Ortiz, Kendra Pugh, Tariq Turner, and Kara Williams. An extra special thanks to Andre Melton and Sean McBean for engineering the show tonight.